Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Cobb, and I'm pleased to have as my guest Carolyn Jervis, who is the author of Life Before Life, How Soul Agreements Direct Our Destiny. Carolyn's been on the show before with her previous book. I believe it was I Dreamt I Was Human, and that will be in the archives under plasticos.com if you'd like to listen to that one. Welcome back, Carolyn.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, would you like to tell the audience a little bit about how you came to write this book?
Okay. Well, first I want to correct the pronunciation of my last name. It's Carolyn Jervis.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
That's okay. That's okay. And how did I write this book? Okay. Well, I have been searching for truth as to why we humans are on this earth and why we were put here, and because for me, my childhood was, you know, like a lot of people's, it was pretty messed up. And so even as a young child, I wanted to understand why the creative force created us and put us on this earth. And so I decided that when I grew up, I was going to search for that, for why I was here. And so I started studying when I was 17 years old. I started looking for any kind of material or books that I could find that were what would be called metaphysical books or spiritual books, anything that would help me to understand and figure out what God was all about, because I felt like, I didn't feel like God had answered my prayers as a child. So I thought, well, I don't even know if you're real, because I don't feel like you've ever been there for me, even though I've prayed, you know. And so I said, help me. I want to understand you. And so I got into metaphysical books. My dad had a bookshelf full of books about reincarnation and ESP and ghost phenomena and all kinds of things. So I started there first. And I read every book in his library on those particular subjects. And then I started getting into Eastern philosophy and theosophy and psychology and anything that would open my eyes as to what this world was all about. And so after 35 years of studying and meditating and contemplating, I decided to, it was time for me to write a book, because I had formed my own form of metaphysics through everything I studied. I found things that connected each other. And so I felt like people weren't getting everything that they could get if they didn't understand certain things that needed to go together. And so I wrote my first book called I Dreamed I Was Human. And then about a year ago, I finished my second book, Life Before Life, How Soul Agreements Direct Our Destiny. And I just decided that I want to put this out there in hopes that maybe it would help somebody else understand themselves and why they were here and what it's all for.
Yeah, a lot of the information that I've gotten about soul contracts came from Edgar Cayce, because he talked about
Edgar
things
Cayce
like
too.
Overlays, which are interesting. He said, like, say somebody is supposed to become president, but they're not particularly ambitious, but they would be given an overlay of ambition. And that was very interesting. Or somebody who was would be given an overlay of the addiction of alcoholism because they had to have that in order to maybe learn their lessons and also help others learn their lessons. So these overlays are very interesting.
Yeah, sounds interesting.
So some of the soul contracts that you talk about have to do with, of course, the family members or members of that you're lifelong relationships with.
Yes.
Would you like to discuss that?
Yes. I'm sure a lot of metaphysical people realize this, but before we are born into this world, and we are born into this world many times, but we have an opportunity to create soul agreements with other souls once we're on, after we get on the, before we get on the earth, before we're born. And usually those soul agreements, first soul agreements are with family. We choose our parents. I mean, you know, the saying people say, we don't choose our relatives. Well, I'm sorry. We do. We choose them. And the reason we choose them is because they, we have, issues with them that have not been resolved from other incarnations. And also they have, some knowledge or, awareness of something that we want to accomplish learning when we come into any particular life. So we choose the people that are going to give us the lessons or the experiences we want and need in order to wake up as a soul in human form on Earth. And so that can mean anything from choosing parents that abuse, or choosing parents that have studied the things that we want to learn about, or are just by who they are teach us certain things about life that we know they will teach us because that's what they is ingrained in them. And so yes, we make all kinds of soul agreements with people, even with close friends that we have, like lifetime friends, or our siblings and our parents and our grandparents, and even people we work with. We take a job with somebody that hires us for a certain kind of job. That can even become a soul agreement as we know each other better. And it can also be, soul agreements can come in just real quickly too, like meeting somebody in line in the grocery store, you know. You get to talking about something and it triggers something in you or it triggers something in them and you learn something really brief and short, but it changes your life. It changes how you view the world and yourself. So this is what soul agreements are all about.
And in terms of, you know, the types that can attract each other, oftentimes there's a victimizer and a victim.
Right.
And as Buddha says, the path is the middle path. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the victimizer has to learn not to be so much like that, and the victim has to be learn to have more self-love and be, you know, more resistant to being victimized.
Right.
So it really is about the middle path.
Balance.
You know, you don't want to be too masculine or too feminine. You don't want to be too aggressive or too submissive, you know.
Yeah, it's about being balanced, and that's what we're all striving for, is balance in this world, in every area. But for me, yes, I chose parents that made me feel like the victim, a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as a child, I wondered, why did I get these parents? Because all my life, even when I was really small, I always had a memory of coming here from a world that was like heavenly, like mm-hmm. peaceful and loving and safe. And so when I came to this earth, even at anywhere from 3 to 5 years old, I had a memory of the place I came from, and I wanted to get back to that place. So my whole life has been remembering that place I left to come here, and I was determined I was going to find my way back. And so that's been my life mission, to figure out how I could get back to that blissful, beautiful place. And I have experienced that in meditations. And but it took many years to get to that place and experience it again as an adult. But I did experience it, and it's wonderful, but still, we're on this earth, and we're on this earth to be here. I mean, wholly be here and be a part of it, because we have things that we can give and things that can be received for our growth and other people's growth. So that's been my life mission.
So would you like to give your contact information for the audience?
Sure. Website, my personal website is Awakening, with AWAKENING, AwakeningYOU.com. That's my website, and they can go there and see more about me, and also get to my Facebook page as well from there. And it shows the types of things that I offer. I do soul path plans. I do dream interpretation. I'm a certified hypnotherapist. I have a master's degree in nutrition, and I counsel. I do counseling as well, and help people on their path as far as, and I do numerology charts. So all of these things can help a person understand themselves better and find out why, what their mission is here, why they came here, what are the strongest parts of them that they want to bring out while they're here on this earth, and explore and learn more about. And my book is, again, called Life. My newest book is Life Before Life, How Soul Agreements Direct Our Destiny. And I also talk about reincarnation, what that really is, and I talk about addictions, passions, how to find our passions, what is it we desire the most on this earth, and can that desire become a passionate thing to where it's what we want to do for the rest of our life. So that's all the things that's in a lot of things in my book, and I talk about needing, wanting, and having, and how to keep that under control and to understand what that's all about. And I talk about Kundalini energy and meditation and my spiritual experiences the spiritual experiences that I've had. And I also have experienced and lived alternate realities and been in parallel realities while I'm in this body and awake. And so that was something that happened to me really young, before I even knew what alternate realities were. But I was in metaphysics even in my, since I was 17. So I knew that everything weird that happened to me that I thought other people would think that was weird, I knew it was God just showing me more about what he was all about, what spirit is all about, what life is all about. So I talk about a lot of things in my book, not just soul agreements. And
you talk about soul backup plans too.
Yeah, backup plans, yes. We have many backup plans, because when we come to this earth, our life is created by the choices we make. And so there is no bad choice. There is no wrong choice. All choices are the choices we can only choose at that moment because of the consciousness we have at that given time. So the choices we make are learning, they're like stepping stones. We learn from them. And even if the experience is painful, we still learn from that experience. It's not God giving us that experience. It's our choices that give us that experience. So choices have a lot to do with everything that goes on this earth. And as we make mistakes, or as we live through these challenging times, these challenging experiences, then we move on to other choices and other experiences. And the more aware we become of who we are as consciousness, which is what the creative force is, that's how I see consciousness. The creative force is pure, intelligent consciousness. That is also a part of us. And as we go through all these different and varied experiences in our lives, we gain more awareness, and we can tap more into that consciousness, that all-knowing consciousness that is inside of us, not that we will be all-knowing in this life because we're in human form, but that consciousness can become bigger and wider and more able to get in touch with as we grow and learn through life. And then if something, we have this passion to do this, or we have this desire to do this, do it. If you can do it, do it, because that desire or that passion is there for a reason. You need to explore those passions and those desires so you know what it is you do want and what you don't want, or what will help you and what won't help you. So it's important to look at those things and make decisions and choices based on your desires and your passions. And this brings out our soul plans. And so as we go through these experiences, let's say that we decide we want to be build houses, okay? So we do that for many years or whatever, and finally we just feel like, oh wow, this doesn't make me feel good anymore. I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Well, that's okay, because we're supposed to keep changing. We're supposed to keep going through our life and choosing what it is we want to do next. And but we have to be smart about it too. We can't we have to really think about, is this something I really want to do? And if you don't really know, read some books about it or talk to people in that kind of business and see what it's all about, and that will help you make your choice. But we do have soul backup plans. So once we've accomplished one part of our soul path, then it's time to go down a little bit different path or a big, huge different path. And so, we can explore that, because that's what we're here for, to explore who we are as humans, as souls in human form, and to finally realize that we are spirit dreaming this life. Consciousness creates. That's all consciousness can do, is create. So we're constantly creating. We are creators and doers on this earth. So we're constantly creating. So don't be afraid of looking at other ways to be in this world. If it's something that excites you or makes you feel good, then explore that. And don't think that you're giving up on this other thing and people are going to think there's something wrong with you, and you might even think, well, why am I doing this? Explore that. Don't be afraid to do that. We are meant to change and grow through our experiences.
So would you like to tell the story about the alternative reality experience that you had?
Yeah, I've had quite a few of them, but I will tell this one. Years ago, many years ago, I had divorced my first husband, and my son and I were living in this one-bedroom apartment. It was a apartment complex that was all one level. Here in Arizona, back then, nobody had two stories because it was too hot on the second story, so everything was one story, even a lot of apartment complexes. So I was living in this apartment complex, and a friend came over to my house one morning, and we were talking in the living room, in the very small living room, and she heard this sound in the kitchen, and she says, what is that sound? Where's that coming from? And I said, oh, that's the lady in the apartment. She percolates her coffee percolates every morning, and I can hear it through the wall, and that's what you're hearing. And she said, she lives in the end apartment? And I said, yeah, right, north of me. And she says, well, Carolyn, you live in the end apartment. And I said, no, I don't. I don't live in the end apartment. And I said, I see this lady that lives there all the time. I see her coming and going out of her apartment. And she has long, dark hair with some gray in it. And she dresses very manly and very plain. And she doesn't like to look at people. It's like she's really kind of shy, even though seems like she's in her 50s or something like that. And I worry about her because she lives by herself and she seems to be really sad. And so when I see her, I try to make eye contact with her so I can say hi to her and help her and maybe befriend her, you know, because I'm basically alone too, and I would like to become friends with her, but that hasn't happened yet. And she says, Carolyn, I know you experience weird things a lot of times, but she says, could you do me a favor? Could you go outside and look and see what apartment you are in? I said, what? You think I'm crazy or something? She says, well, I think maybe you're mistaking this person that you're saying lives in the end apartment for somebody else that lives in the complex. And I said, no. The person on the other side of me has blonde hair and two little boys. She doesn't look anything like her. And the person across from me is a guy, and he doesn't look anything like her. So, no, she doesn't live in some other apartment. She said, well, just go out there and look. And I said, okay, I will, just to ease my mind now and to prove to you you're wrong. So I went out. There was only one door. There wasn't a back. There was only a front door, and it was a sliding glass door. And I went out, and I looked, and sure enough, I was in the end apartment. And for months, I thought I was in the end apartment, and I saw that lady who lived in that end apartment. And I had even remembered one day she had come home from work the same time that I had come home, and we were both opening our sliding glass doors, which was the front door. And I said hi to her, and she didn't really want to look at me, but she did, and she said hi. And then she turned away and went into her apartment. And I thought, well, at least I said hi to her, you know. And but after all that happened, and I realized I lived in the end apartment. I was only in my 20s, and so she was like 50 or something like that, it looked like. And so I got to thinking about it, and I knew it was a gift. I knew it was a gift from God. God was showing me that there's more to life than what meets the eye, and I knew that. So it didn't scare me. I just accepted it as God waking me up a little more, you know, as to what's real and what isn't. And but I thought about it later on, and I realized that all the sliding glass doors on every apartment were located on the far left of each apartment. And when I said hi to her, that lady next door to me, when we were opening up our doors at the same time, I realized that her door was parallel to mine, but I hadn't gotten that at that point. Her door was actually parallel to mine, like looking into a mirror almost. And that meant my sliding glass door was the only one that was supposed to be on the right side of the apartment, where everybody else's was on the left side. But in this here and now, my sliding glass door was on the same side as everybody else's, but in the experience, it was on the same, it was parallel to her door.
Right.
So I thought, okay, that was obviously a parallel experience, whatever that was. And so I knew it really happened. It really happened. And what is real at one moment isn't real maybe another moment. It just depends. And I mean, we don't know how many experiences we're experiencing that are in this here and now or in another here and now. And I've had many more of those experiences. And you don't know you're in another here and now until you come back to this here and now. And then you know that one must not have been in this here and now. It was in another here and now. And I've had many of those experiences. And I didn't plan them. They just all happened, you know. And they still happen once in a while. And I accept them. What else can I do? But I do. And I know other people are experiencing them, but they're not realizing it. Because this is the time when our minds are doing multidimensional things. And I realize that these experiences are another aspect of me or another version of me. They're showing me something about me, and I hope that they're receiving something back from me as well. And what I learned from that experience from the lady next door was that See, I was going through a lot of depression and loneliness at that time, too. Mm-hmm. And I wanted a friend, and so I guess this parallel me in another, what I call frequency level, was experiencing this. And so I hope that when I said hi to her, I gave her some kind of hope or something that said, you know, there are people that care, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope she got that. But I also realized that she was also another aspect of me, showing mm-hmm. me how my life could have been like hers, where she was completely alone. I had family in the area, and I had a son as well.
So a lot of people are experiencing things where they put something down, they absolutely know where it is, but then it disappears only to reappear later.
Yep. It's happened to me too. My niece died she got in a car accident at 19, and I had given her some earrings, pretty rhinestone earrings, for her graduation, high school graduation. And mm-hmm. she just loved them. She wore them all the time. And when she got in the car accident and died, oh, God, it just, you know, it was killed me, almost killed me, because I just loved her so much. She was like this little angel. And lo and behold, one day I was looking for something in a cupboard in my bathroom. And lo and behold, there was this box in there. And I thought, what's in that box? And I opened up that box, and it was the earrings I had given her for graduation. And she never mm-hmm. gave them back to me. And her mother right. never gave them back to me. And there they were. There. And I still have them.
I have an earring story, too. I had a friend give me earrings that were sapphires. And I wore them to a restaurant, and I knew that I lost them at the restaurant, you know, because I knew I had them before I entered the restaurant, but going out, I'd lost one of them.
Uh-huh.
So one of my technicians had commented on the earrings, you know, like saying, you know, she noticed them.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, in the operating room, in a drawer in the operating room, she found the earring.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Wow.
So that reappeared.
Yeah.
And, you know, because she was probably the only person all day that noticed the earrings.
Uh-huh.
And I really had only worn them that one day.
Wow.
So so that was an experience of...
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
Knowing that where you lost them...
Yeah.
And... I wasn't even, you know, that worried about losing it. I mean, it was expensive, so that
yeah.
was something. But
yeah.
but then to have her hand it to me, say, I found this earring in the drawer in the operating room. I know that I didn't lose it in the operating room.
Yeah, and you know, those experiences even happened to me as a little girl. My grandfather would buy my twin sister and I these little rhinestone rings that probably cost a dollar or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we never took them off our fingers, even unless we took a bath or something like that. And we'd put it right where we could see it. And I lost a ring that my grandfather got me. We would wear them to bed. I woke up one morning and my ring was gone. It was on my finger when I went to bed. And when mm-hmm. I woke up the next morning, it was gone. I looked everywhere in my bedroom, took the sheets off, looked under the mattress.
Mm-hmm.
I looked everywhere, never found that ring. And then a turquoise ring that my mom's cousin got me from Nogales, because I live in Arizona. And I wore that all the time, and again, I wore it. I went to sleep with it on my finger, and in the morning it was gone, and I, too, never found that ring again.
So, it disappeared into the ether.
Yeah, disappeared. And these things are happening in this world more and more now. And that these parallel lives, what I call parallel lives, and alternate realities, they are really like portals we slip through. I don't believe that we actually take, I mean, what is a body? What is anything? Everything is energy. You know, absolutely everything. Even our bodies are made up of energy. And so that energy is real to our conscious mind because we came in with the belief, wanting to have the belief that everything about this world is real so that we would experience it as real, so that we would take the lessons that we learn from it as real and change and expand who we are in human form. And so to go into a parallel life is just really just a transference of consciousness into a different frequency level. It doesn't mean the body goes with it, even though my body was in those experiences, and it seemed no different than when I was in this particular present until I came back. But the body, it was still the same, unless it isn't. There are two different kinds of parallel experiences. Another experience can be where you see yourself at a different age or in another lifetime. And I've had those too. But they're still parallel experiences, alternate realities. And
yes,
they're all
Seth for talks people. A lot about parallel realities.
Who does?
Seth materials. The Seth materials? The
oh,
yeah.
Seth? Yes, I've read all the Seth materials years ago, yes. Uh-huh. I've read so many things, yeah. But, hey, they have helped me. But then you take what you learn from what you read and you contemplate it and you think about it and you meditate on it so that you can have your own personal experiences and make them yours, you know, you integrate them. Because as long as we're just getting our information purely from what somebody else has told us, until it's integrated, it's not really a part of us. And so we really need to really analyze it and work with it and get to understand it and know it from different aspects so that it becomes integrated in us and a part of who we are and changes us. Because everything does change us in some way, which is good.
Well, they're talking about the possibility of a galactic wave of energy coming from the galactic center and changing a lot of our lives.
Right.
The ascension energies may actually permanently propel us into a higher dimensional world where it's a lot less duality existing and a lot easier to live.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree with that.
A more permanent solution than. But that may be why so many of us are experiencing, like, putting something somewhere and then having it not be there, but later having it come
right
back.
Here. Mm-hmm. Yes, that is why what we would call strange things, some people might call strange things because they haven't experienced many things like that. It's going to happen, and it's happening to everybody in some way, even the deja vu thing, you know, how you're going to have more of that, people are going to have more of that going on, or meeting people and you just feel like you know them, you know them so well. Mm. You know, it's things like that, just all kinds of experience and dreams. It's time to start really looking at your dreams again, because when we go to sleep at night, it frees up our mind to just kind of move around, you know, to different frequency levels. And So we can get a lot of information just from that if we train ourselves to remember our dreams. But mm-hmm. also dreams, when we dream and we wake up, a lot of times they seem very convoluted and confusing. It's, mm-hmm. it's because dreams are, when we're dreaming, we're dreaming in a multi-dimensional level sort of way. Mm-hmm. So things aren't, what's first isn't first when we wake up, so we have to put them in an order that makes sense to us so that we can understand what the dream is telling us.
Yeah. So.
But then a lot of, there are dreams that are very coherent too. So it just depends.
Yeah, you can tell the difference between
yeah.
just the ordinary everyday dream where there's a whole
yes.
bunch of different elements and it's,
yes.
you know, not really that coherent, and then one that is so coherent that it is even called prophetic.
Right, right. Like in my life before life, the dream I had at the beginning of the book that I wrote about, where I found, in the dream I found myself in the middle of the ocean on a mattress, floating on a mattress. Do you remember reading that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do.
And that was a dream. And it was so clear. And it was definitely, the message was, you have to, people say, oh, I want to be out through with this world. I want to get out of here. I don't want to mm-hmm. be here anymore. The world is too messed up, it's too crazy, it's too this, it's too that, life isn't fun anymore, or whatever the case may be. And mm-hmm. in that dream, I was wanting to leave the earth, and I kept trying to drown myself in the dream, but I was kept being afraid to breathe the water in, you know, to just mm-hmm. let go. So I kept coming up, and I was kind of mad at God because I was saying, come on, come on, let me out of here. I want to get off this earth, you know. And that God was telling me in the dream, no, you can't go that way. And I said, and so I got to thinking about it after so many times saying, no, this isn't the way. I said, what are you trying to tell me? Are you trying to tell me that I have to live in order to die, that I have to live my life and get to the end of it before I can die, or I have to come back and do this all over again? And the answer was yes. And so I couldn't even swim in the dream, but I had to try because I didn't want to come back and experience it all over
that
again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I started swimming, and I was told it was 4 miles to shore, and I didn't even know how to swim, and there were these huge waves and wind and rain and everything. And so I said, okay, it doesn't really matter whether I die by trying to live or not. So I started swimming the best I could, and I said to God, please just don't let me die this horrible, painful death. And I'm swimming as hard as I can, the next thing I know, I don't remember. It was like God picked me up and put me on the shore, but I didn't remember how I got on the shore.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of the dream. But that was a good message for me. I needed to hear that.
Right.
So, and there was nothing confusing
about it.
I mean,
if you don't get through what you came to do,
yeah.
then... Well, I mean, a lot of times, like, cancer will come up as
mm-hmm.
a way to take you out because
mm-hmm.
you just got totally lost and you weren't going to be able to do what you came in to do. So you get taken mm-hmm. out with cancer and put back in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
There are going to be a lot, if not already, a lot of remissions and diseases and stuff because we, as human beings, with the God consciousness is a part of
mm-hmm.
our consciousness. And we can heal ourselves if we want to be healed. We can work on that and we can heal ourselves. It's a choice okay, we get to the, sometimes a person will get to a point and they create a disease, so they feel like they have no way out. But a lot of times the people that get these diseases, they really don't want to leave. Or when they get the disease, they realize how much they want to stay here.
Right.
So once they realize that they want to stay here, that's when they need to start working on staying here and healing through meditation, through prayer, through dreams, through health, through whatever they can find to help them, or go to these clinics that help people holistically heal, you know, from cancer.
Dr. Norm Shealy ran such a clinic, and he said to me one time, he never wanted to take care of anybody who had less than 6 weeks to live, because they wouldn't change.
Yeah, that's true, because they're not ready yet to
not motivated to change.
Not motivated, yeah, exactly. And yeah. It's going to happen, and it happens all the time. That, of course, we don't hear about it, but it's going to happen more and more. And we have to realize that it's our choices, our beliefs, our perceptions that create our world, our personal world. So we have to work on those beliefs. We have to realize that any belief we have is there because there's something for us to learn by having that belief. But once that belief, it's like, well, I don't know if I believe that anymore. And we feel that way, and we have to do something else. It changes. That changes who we are. We have to move on, and we know that. Don't stay in that thing that you feel you're done with. Move on, because that's what life is all about. Keep moving on, moving on, moving up. You know.
And the other important thing to know is that sometimes you really don't even know what's best for you, or what even all the possibilities are.
No,
that's
you don't.
The problem with the law of attraction, you know.
Yes.
I see a lot of people trying to create their own reality, but in actuality, they're limiting themselves because they don't have the whole story of what is possible.
That's right.
And so it's almost better just to be open to possibilities.
Yes.
Rather than have this really rigid idea of what reality you want to live in.
Right. And what I tell people to do is what are the things that you are interested in? What talents do you have that you could improve or change to where it could be something that you would love doing? Even just going out and volunteering can change a person's life, you know, for the better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
Just doing something for somebody else can make a person feel really good about themselves and their life. It doesn't have to be.
It's a whole energetic change rather than just commiserating with your own misery. If you go out and help others, you get out of yourself, get out of depression, and get out of feeling sorry for yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And I tell everybody, When I talk on these programs, I tell people, stop blaming God for everything. Because God isn't to blame. God is just this loving, peaceful, blissful, creative essence that is there for us, you know. But God doesn't punish us. We punish us. With our beliefs, with our self-hate, with our experience, bad experiences. Why did you do this to me, God? Why did this happen to me? Why? What are you trying to do to me? You know, and it's not God. It's not
more
God.
Likely karma.
Well, yes, it can be karma, but there's good karma and there's bad karma.
Right.
But and everything in between. But all karma is. Things that we want to learn that we have avoided learning. Things we want to resolve and heal within us that we haven't put enough effort into doing. And that's all karma is. It's still an energy. And it, it's only there because of who we are, who we believe we are, what we believe we are, what we believe we deserve, what we believe we need to work on and are afraid to work on. Mm-hmm. And so it's a choice. We make choices every day of our life. So we need to really look at the choices we have and determine which ones will best serve us. And if the choices we have right now are holding us down, then we need to let them go. We need to let those choices or belief systems go so that we can free ourselves to find another way, a better way of living on this earth.
Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information one more time?
Okay. The name of my book is Life Before Life, How Soul Agreements Direct Our Destiny. And they can find my Facebook pages if they type in Life Before Life by Carolyn Gervais. They can get to my Facebook page and see what I'm all about on my Facebook page as well. And awakeningyou.com is my website, and you can buy my books on Amazon, or you could go into any bookstore that orders books, you know, for people and order it. It comes in ebook or paperback, and right. They can find more about my book on Amazon and on my Facebook page as well.
Great. Well, thanks so much for joining us. It's been a great interview.
Thank you, Susan. Thanks for having me. It's fun talking to you. And thank you to all the people that are listening.
Oh, right. Well, we've been interviewing Carolyn Gervais on Life. Is that right, Gervais? Did I get it right that time, Carolyn?
Pardon?
On Life Before Life. How Soul Agreements Direct Our Destiny. Next week, we are going to be interviewing Dr. Amit Goswami, and the week after that, Dr. Eric Love on Bach Flower Remedies. Thanks a lot, and join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show.